Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, sir.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
Mr. Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
There's Megan Do with it, dude, people.
That's what we thought at the top.
NBA free agency, NBA offseason, off the chain.
It's all good. You heard that too, right?
Yeah.
We're making it do what it do, people.
Hey, you gotta let it go in. It's his birthday.
Yeah, that's what I was going to let him have a little moment, too. So, of course, welcome to Talking Sports with the 12 Man on this Wednesday, July the 5th. Man, we are having fun. I got to tell you guys, hope you had a happy 4th. No NFL players blew up any fingers, so that was definitely a successful event, you know. So, we got a special day for our co-host, Mr. Robert Porter, celebrated his birthday. So, man, Rob, happy birthday, man. I hope you didn't get too much trouble.
Oh, man, I appreciate it. Appreciate the love. I'm lit. I'm ready to talk some sports.
You're lit, really?
They're here.
You're calling in lit on the show.
Oh, yeah.
Huh? Pumped
up. Doing,
huh?
Yeah,
okay.
Pumped up. Hey, listen, I love the honesty.
I got nothing. JQ, what you got, bro? I got nothing, man. What you got?
Man, I'm over here. I feel like Puff Daddy and the Bad Boy family. I got 24 hours to live because I'm going to get on this road and go to Tampa first thing Friday morning. And I'm just trying everything to make it to that point so I can go take some time off and watch some baseball and kick it.
Oh, man. It's going to be a fun show already, fellas. So, America, tune in to us like you always do. Let me give you the numbers if you want to reach out to your boys and call us. The first number to call is the 424-243-9519. That is our main line. Touch base with us. If you want to follow us on Twitter, at the number 12, THMAN Sports. And last but not least, Facebook, facebook.com/12man sports. Or if you literally type in Talking Sports with the 12 Man, you will find us in that arena as well. So, gentlemen, let's get this party started. First, right off the news, we're going to discuss some NFL free agency, as Rob talked about. And one of the biggest news, big story, is Gordon Hayward. He literally said that he's going to join the Celtics. And I guess we kind of took for granted the relationship between Brad Stevens, and he literally says in the Players Tribune that, hey, I'm leaving to go to the Celtics. And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but was that a mistake? And I'm going to start off with the birthday boy. Rob Ford, your thoughts about this whole move for Gordon Hayward, sir?
Yeah, I kind of thought all along this is where he would end up, you know, based on his relationship with Brad Stevens, as you just mentioned, JQ. I never thought he would go to the Miami Heat. You know, I thought there was still a small chance that he would possibly go to the Utah Jazz. But when you really look at it, him staying with Utah is not going to give them any opportunity of reaching the NBA Finals. You still got Golden State in the Western Conference. You still have the Spurs in the Western Conference. Obviously, the Rockets just got Chris Paul, so they're still in the Western Conference. The Thunder, with Paul George and Russell Westbrook, is still in the Western Conference. Him staying in Utah will not give an opportunity to even scratch the surface of a Western Conference Finals or an NBA Finals. Him going to Boston gives him an opportunity to – obviously, this team just went to the Eastern Conference Finals without him. Window of an opportunity to possibly eventually get to the NBA Finals out of the Eastern Conference. And so I actually think even though he took, you know, 1 year less in salary, guaranteed salary to go to Boston, I personally think if you want to compete for a championship, this is his best opportunity going to Boston and, of course, teaming up with his old coach and Brad Stevens. So I don't – no surprise here. I think it was a very smart move for him.
But the flip side of what you say is if you take it one step further, I really don't know it going to the Celtics as well, if that's still going to get them to the ultimate goal of a championship. You're talking about now they got to pull, you're right, the Western Conference is fully loaded for everything that you just laid out. So, but even going to the East, you want them to do the two-step of throwing to Cleveland and knocking off Golden State, like in the in back-to-back finals, you know, Eastern Conference and then the finals. Like, that's still a lot, even for him going to the Celtics and that Celtics team, because they're going to have to trade somebody. And you see they're talking about, you know, Bradley and Smart and Crowder today having to trade one of the three of them to free up some space. So that team is going to get weakened a little bit. They're still going to be the, you know, second-best team in the East to me besides Cleveland. But I just don't know, even with that, if they can pull off that two-step. Say if they got to go through Cleveland and Golden State next year, do you think with Hayward that means that they can do that? I don't think so.
No. No, and that's, I was, that's not what I was saying at all. But he will go a lot further in the playoffs with the Celtics than he will with the Jazz. But
yes.
This team does, still does not beat the Cavaliers, at least in the next 2 to 3 years. As long as LeBron James, I think maybe when LeBron starts hitting that 35, 36 years, he would have still in Boston. They may have a chance to eventually get to the finals at that point. But, it's, you know, LeBron James still has at least another 3 to 4 years of primetime basketball. And as long as he's in the Eastern Conference and they have Kyrie Irving and at least another star on that team, they won't get past. But what I basically was saying is, he can get to the Eastern Conference Finals against he won't get even scratch the surface of the Western Conference Finals in the West. So he can get a lot further in the playoffs than he would.
Yeah, I wasn't saying that you said that. I was just saying for people that make the argument that Boston could do that, you know, the ultimate goal, I'm saying they can't because I don't think they can win that two-step. I wasn't saying you, Robert Ford, was the one that said it.
Yeah. Just for clarifying, that's all.
Oh, man. No, but, you know, I gotta say, though, I mean, well, not that it's a mistake, obviously. It's definitely not a mistake. But I think the Celtics have clearly stepped up, you know, a legitimate threat in the East. I mean, like you said, Rob, you know, probably second-best team easily. Because Isaiah Thomas was pretty much unstoppable, and now you add another element to add Gordon Hayward, and you know obviously they may be a little weak, and I know you hear the rumors about you know Bradley and or Crowder and or Marcus Smart. I think Marcus Smart is the odd man out personally, but you see a maturation of a team, and you add Jason Tatum, you add you know Jaylen Brown is going to grow. I mean the Celtics are a very you know dangerous team, you know. So obviously. We're not saying they're ready to dethrone the Cavs just yet because they're still early in the free agents, especially if you think what's going to happen with Carmelo. But you definitely got to say that the Celtics got significantly better, and Danny Ainge is always acquiring assets with more draft picks. So this is still a dangerous team. So, you know, we'll think about how that plays out.
Yeah.
So maneuver and stuff like that too, for sure. So that's all I'm saying too. But go ahead.
And when you look at this Eastern Conference Finals matchup, I mean, obviously Cleveland won 4-1, but they could have easily swept Cleveland if they didn't blow that one lead in that game. And so they could have easily swept the Boston Celtics. Now, with Gordon Hayward, do they win one or two games maybe against Cleveland? Maybe yes. But I don't think this – even if Cleveland stays as they are constructed today – this does not put the Celtics past the Cavaliers. I mean, if you look at the big three versus big three, Gordon Hayward versus LeBron James, obviously you're still going to take LeBron James. If you take Kyrie Irving versus Isaiah Thomas, I'm still going to go with Kyrie Irving. And then you look at Al Horford versus Kevin Love. You can almost still take Kevin Love in that situation. So, you mean the big three versus big three, you still got three old Cavaliers. Now, the Celtics right now have a little better bench, but as JQ mentioned, they're probably going to lose some of that depth. But, you know, as Andre even mentioned, they still got Jason Tatum and Brown that can possibly grow. So, so we'll have to see if Cleveland's bench step up and match the Celtics bench. But as far as big three versus big three, I mean, you could basically say it's 3-0 Cavaliers on that matchup.
And one final note, and it's about a different team. I'm not gonna put too much dirt yet on that Washington Wizards team, as long as they got John Wall and Bradley Beal playing at the level they can play on. Because John Wall, to me, I think took a step in the playoffs last year. I know it's set to stardom, and I think if he continues to grow like that, and Bill grows just a little bit with him with the talent that Bill has. They don't have a big three; they got a big two. And I know you're gonna say that, and I'm just saying I'm not. And they took Boston to seven. I just still think that they are equipped with John Wall taking a step forward and being a full-blown superstar to challenge in those two. To me, they're number three.
I don't know if they have enough. I don't know. Yeah, they're probably number three. I don't know if they have enough firepower. They have stretches where you kind of get scared, like, man, you know, John Wall can do so much. They don't have that bona fide, just like, I mean, you know, Beal can go off, obviously, and walk off, but still, they're still missing something, I would say, too. So, but, you know, again, you know, that three position is going to be interesting. Cause, you know, we'll talk about the Pacers got a little weekend, and we'll see also steps up, too. But, anyway, good call. And let's keep moving here. Let's talk about Kevin Durant taking less money. Is that an issue for the NBA? I'm going to start with you, JQ, on this spot, man.
No, it's not an issue for the NBA. It's probably an issue for the NBA PA, where the Players Association probably don't like it when they're trying to bargain it. But the NBA, oh, they're all for it because, I mean, it's less luxury tax bill. But from a player standpoint, I mean, I get it. And me and Mike had this argument. He argued me up and down and nobody's leaving, you know, like $20 million on the table. And I'm like, if you're going to get 140 or close to 200 anyway, instead of getting 225 or whatever, you get 200 just for number's sake. Like, but to stay on a better team as opposed to getting all the money and knowing you don't really have a shot at the title, like, I would take less money if I was handling my money correctly, you know what I mean? To go to a contender and stay with a contender and making that contender remain a contender is taking less money so everybody can be re-signed. So it is what it is. I'm, you know, he deferred to Curry because Curry damn sure didn't leave no money on the table. But Durant did and pursued more titles. And, I mean, I'm not mad at him for doing that. He put his money where his mouth was.
Rob?
Well, yeah, I totally agree with that. I don't think it's a huge problem for the NBA. I don't think it's a problem for the NBA front office. It's a problem for the rest of the 29 teams in the NBA that the Warriors able to still keep their entire team intact. And so I mean that's, you know, I was under the impression that you were going to see at least Iguodala and Livingston leave, at least one of those two guys leave, and the Warriors were able to keep both of those guys intact. I mean, I was under the impression, like I said, there were at least one of those two, maybe even both of them, were going to leave for greener pastures from a paycheck standpoint. And the Warriors was able to keep that entire team intact. And so I would say it's not necessarily a problem for the NBA front office. But it's a problem for the 29 other teams in the NBA to still have to face these Warriors as they are constructed today.
Yeah.
I agree. I mean, I would say a couple of things in that. Kind of taking the point what JQ said. I mean, you can take less, but you can get other money someplace else. I mean, endorsements, other types of deals. I mean, they're not losing money, maybe like, from that salary perspective, but there's other shoe stuff happening. I mean,
yeah, they're still losing money.
There's other things happening. They're losing money, but I'm saying they're still making it up someplace else. I mean, you're not making as much as you could, but I mean, really, like $5 million to $1 million. I mean, you're gonna get a million somehow, you know. But I don't know. Maybe it's kind of,
the only reason why I say that is because if they went somewhere else, they could still do everything that you're saying and make max money. So they're losing money either way. They're gonna get. You know, so they're going to be able to recoup some money in your mind, but it's not really recouping it, right? Because you was going to get that money either way. You know, if he goes somewhere else and he's still Kevin Durant, he's still going to freaking command a lot of money endorsement wise, and he's going to get a nice contract from his team. So you still lose some money, but I mean, I hear you. I'm still all for it. Like you don't feel like you lose as much because you still got the endorsement money coming behind it.
Right. Like I said, I mean, you can make all the money in the world. And, you know, the team sucks. And then what advantage is that?
Yes.
You know, you can sit there, I'm making all this money, and you can suck it, you know. But, again, it's not someone else. So, I don't know.
I agree with you. No, I agree with you wholeheartedly.
Let's keep moving here. Let's talk about LeBron James. And I guess the decision that he is not recruiting free agents, is that a surprise? I'm going to kind of throw this over to birthday boy, Rob, because there may be something else going on is what I think, too. But what's your thoughts about this, Rob?
Well, my thoughts is that the Cavaliers are pretty hamstrung from a financial standpoint right now. So there's really not a whole lot that LeBron James can really do right now. So I really think this is a big story, as the media is trying to make it out to be. Is, I mean, obviously they're over the cap and they're in a luxury tax bracket as an organization. It's I mean, the most they can really do is make a trade for someone at this point, or hope that the New York Knicks buy out Carmelo's contract, and maybe you could sign him in addition to what you already have. But right now, as an organization, they really can't go. They're not in a free agent business right now because they're hamstrung from a hamstrung standpoint, other than, you know, mid-level exceptions or the bi-level exceptions, which they just use a portion of that on the point guard. Drawing a blank on his name. Jose Calderon. Calderon. They just signed him as a backup point guard. They just used a portion of the bi-level exception. They obviously re-signed Kyle Korver, but you obviously can re-sign your own free agent the way the NBA is constructed. So it's really not a whole lot that he can do as far as attracting people to come. Like I said, the best they can hope for is either trading for somebody like Carmelo Anthony, which I'm not sure if that puts them past the Warriors. The only thing that can possibly help them to compete with the Warriors is adding Carmelo to what they already have. Kevin Love for Carmelo, in my opinion, does not put them past the Warriors, not one bit. So, I mean, it's really not a whole lot that he can do at this, at the way the Warriors, I'm sorry, the way the Cavs financial situation is at this moment.
Thank you.
He's absolutely right. And I think the thing that's happened, I think, behind the scenes, I think he's already started recruiting. I think that he hasn't made – there's two things. I think he hasn't fully made up his mind whether or not he's going to stay in Cleveland, and I think that's an indication of that. I think if he was committed to Cleveland for the next 3 or 4 years and he was like, this is where I'm going to be, he would have done it. But he can only do so much, to all the points that Rob made, that they don't have a lot of flexibility. And nobody's, you know, it's hard to find a David West that turns down $11 million and plays for one. Like, you know, dudes aren't doing that for the most part, especially younger guys that you're counting on. So that hurt at that. But I do think that he's also doing some back-channel recruiting, because before, Carmelo wouldn't even think about, you know, rescinding his no-trade clause. And nope. Now it's like, oh, okay, well, I'll go to this team or this team. And it's like, you know, I feel like Cleveland's just playing a game with New York and playing a game with chicken of – to Rob's point, we can't give them Kevin Love. You know what I'm saying? Like, we can't do it. So we're just going to stare them down until it gets more and more toxic, and then they, you know, buy him out, and then he comes to us, and we work something out. But outside of that, I mean, I think he's 100% right. All their money and their chips are on the center of the table on our Carmelo Anthony buyout. That's really their only shot at Golden State. And I agree. I don't know if it puts him over the top, but it gives them a better shot.
We're going to talk about this a little bit more, too. But maybe the fact that LeBron's not really recruiting free agents, and maybe that may be one thing, Rob, that the financials, but maybe LeBron may be leaving in a minute. So he doesn't want to tell guys, hey, let's come play together, whatever. He's like, no, in his back of his head, I'm going to be here for like a year or season or something like that, too. So that could be something to think about, too, right?
Yeah, but the other thing that's also happening is that they are out there actively looking to trade Carmelo Anthony to upgrade. He was involved in all the Butler and Paul George talks as a, you know, bargaining chip for them. So, like, it's not like he's safe. It's just that they whiffed, really, and went 0-2 and didn't get either one of those guys. So now they are all in on trying to get Carmelo on the buyout. I mean, I think that's pretty much what it is.
Go ahead, Rob. Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, and that's basically the Cavaliers' only hope right now, as far as, in my opinion, as far as trying to get better. You don't get better by trading Kevin Love for Carmelo Anthony. I'm sorry. That does not make your franchise better. Your only hope is that the Knicks would buy out Carmelo and that the Cavs can add him to the mix. And as you know, Andre mentioned that, and I'm under the impression right now as well. I thought this was not going to happen, that LeBron was going to end his career with Cleveland. But at this point, I would not be surprised if next summer, if the Cavaliers don't win the NBA championship, that he looks to build another super team somewhere else, particularly the Lakers. And as much as I would hate to see that, but you know, that's a possibility. Come next summer,
he's all aboard.
Well, the Lakers will have the flexibility, and they can add a LeBron James and maybe another player or two. Obviously, Paul George is going to want to wind up there, and then beware for Russell Westbrook even possibly wanting to go to the Lakers too. And so, if they don't win the championship next summer, I think it's a 50-50 chance LeBron James staying with Cleveland or going with the Lakers.
Listen, I think y'all already know that if that happened, I would have a gold Los Angeles number 6 James Lakers jersey off rip.
No, he would not.
I don't know if that's going to happen, but yes, I would have one. Oh, come on, you know I would.
I know you would.
But I think his easiest way to get to the NBA Finals is to stay in the East. Well, if he wants to easily get to the NBA Finals, his best bet is to really stay in the Eastern Conference.
He can't keep making – at this point, he can't make more finals and lose them. You know what I mean? Like, I hear what you're saying, and you're right.
Yeah.
His easiest path is in the Eastern Conference, but that super team, unless he went to Boston, is not there in the East for him to join, or Washington, really, for him to join. And I don't think he's going to either two of those spots. So, you know, he's in a tough situation.
All right, gentlemen, let's come to the next topic.
I think he's going to wait and see what happens next summer. If they, like I said, I think if he wins the championship, he definitely returns to Cleveland. If not, I think it's 50-50 chance.
Okay, fair enough. All right, let's talk about this. This is an interesting situation because if I would have told you that you're swapping player for player, if you say Kevin Durant or Paul George, you know, probably 90% of people would say Kevin Durant. But for that team, you know, I guess you're looking at the coexistence between Paul George and Russell Westbrook, and maybe Durant leaving made Westbrook kind of a better player. I know that sounds weird, because maybe he learned how to, like, deal with that superstardom status. But, your thoughts about this, and I'm going to start with JQ. Can they coexist? And it's almost like unbelievable that you're kind of swapping, you know, you would think Kevin Durant for Paul George, nothing, not slighting Paul George, but, you know, obviously Kevin, I think, is a better player, but, you know, maybe he kind of fits that team better than Durant. So, yeah, go ahead, JQ.
I don't know if it made Westbrook a better player or if it just allowed Westbrook to be not his full self, but to be the undisputed leader and the alpha dog and be able to put marching orders down and everybody's like, oh, yeah, you know, and follow in line. You know, it's just going to depend on what Paul George does, you know, if they can coexist. Because, you know, Russ is basically, he got his way, so to speak. You know, he didn't win the power struggle because Durant has a ring, obviously. But he's the one still standing when everything is done. His coach is gone. Kevin Durant is gone. He's still there. So,
yeah,
you know, that's his team, undoubtedly undisputed. What does Paul George do when he's used to having something be his team like it was in Indiana? To go somewhere else and have to be like, you know what, this is your stuff, I'm just going to fall in line. That's going to be interesting to watch early on, that dynamic.
Okay. Rob, your thoughts, man?
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting mix. I agree with JQ. I don't necessarily think that it made Russell Westbrook a better player. He just had to do more without Kevin Durant. And obviously, you know, he had to be that guy to kind of do everything in order to keep them in a lot of games, you know, without Kevin Durant.
That's what he wanted.
So it's going to be, yeah,
exactly.
Absolutely. And obviously the NBA right now is a star power league. In order for you to be successful, you have to have multiple superstars on your team. And so obviously I think this kind of makes OKC better. Does it make them better than the Warriors? Absolutely not. And but, you know, adding Paul George is, the biggest move of the offseason so far that the OKC, I mean, they were the seventh seed in the Western Conference. I think this obviously puts them in the top four at least. So this was the biggest move. If you look at draft, you look at trades, you look at free agency, this was the biggest move of any move in the free agency period, in my opinion. Obviously, he's only got 1 year left on his contract. So this is a real trial year for OKC. And so it is kind of a big gamble. But in the NBA, it is a gamble. I mean, he's going to be a free agent next summer and he can go anywhere he wants. But okay, even if he leaves, OKC would have the salary cap space to possibly get another star to team up with Russell Westbrook. So I think it's a gamble that's worth it. And, you know, you just kind of wait and see what happens. But I think it has the potential to frog OKC into the top four. The Clippers are going to bounce back. You just lost Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, and DeAndre Jordan, of course, are two nice players. Blake Griffin is injury prone, so they're going to fall out of that top four mix. Utah Jazz is going to fall out of the top four mix without Gordon Hayward. I mean, you got the Rockets, you got the Spurs, you got the Warriors. So you think that OKC has a chance of being up there in the top four with them?
Wow. Okay, good call. But see, this is what I was saying. So I wasn't trying to talk about the fact that we'll talk about like the coexistence between Paul George and Russell Westbrook and him being a better player. What I was saying, like, sometimes you don't miss something until it's gone. So with Kevin Durant, it's easy to kind of do your thing and whatever. And now, like you said, Rob, you know, Russell Westbrook's got to deal with it a little bit more. But the fact that you look at the dynamics of that team, and I really do think that, you know, having, you know, Paul, he's like, all right, I do kind of miss having somebody else that can kind of take that load off of me as opposed to me just trying to, like, yeah, I'm averaging triple-doubles. But that mess gets old after a while. I know it does. I mean, no matter what you say, you know, yeah, you won the MVP, but like JQ said, you know, Kevin Durant got the ring. That's what you want, you know. So eventually you're going to have to be like, all right, you know, it doesn't really matter how many – I could score 1,000 points and, you know, it's not going to benefit me anything. So if you look at the way, you know, Russell may be like, all right, you know, now I've got a real opportunity to kind of like – I'm the alpha dog, but I don't have to be as dominant as I used to be because I've got somebody that can kind of help me out. So, again, for that team, maybe Paul can do a little bit more because, you know, Kevin Durant was able to score and, you know, do some assists, but he, you know, a couple of rebounds, but he wasn't like, you know, dominant from that perspective where Paul George can do a little bit of everything. He can do, he can rebound, he can defend, he can score, he can block shots, you know, he can do so much other stuff too as well. That's all I was kind of saying. He's more of a complete player for that team now, ex Kevin Durant as before. That's all I was trying to say. So anyway, hope that sort of made a little bit of sense what I was trying to communicate, but it's all good. Again, I still think, you know, the end result, Paul George is going to L.A., so it's just one stop. I'm going to L.A. because, you know, so, you know, yeah, I'm going to get some wins under my belt. And that's pretty much all it is. I do want to talk really briefly about how Indiana, that's really weak in Indiana, guys. I mean, you talk about a squad I don't really understand that. So that, I mean, I do, but you know what I'm talking about? It's like one of those really head-scratchers from that perspective. Yeah,
no,
go ahead, JQ.
No, yeah, I wanted to bring that up. And thank you for reminding me because I forgot I was going to bring it back up. Was that trade? Like, it felt a lot like that Boogie Cousins trade. No, you know what I mean? You got it, went over on Sacramento, and they got on TV and said, well, I turned down a better trade the other day. I feel like Indiana turned down a better trade, and the report that they just wanted to get him out of the Eastern Conference, if that's true, and they turned down better trades in Boston just because they didn't want to be in the Eastern Conference, that's nuts.
Yeah.
If that's a true statement, that they are easily the losers right now, and that was a lot considering that Chicago also got free from Jimmy Butler. So I'm just like, okay.
Yeah.
Is there something going on with those two guys in the league that we don't know about where their stock isn't as high among, you know, NBA executives? Because if you think about it, you know, both of those teams should have gotten more, Chicago and Indiana, for their two respective superstars than what they got, in my opinion.
Easily.
So
yeah, I agree.
Did they both get free, or does the rest of the NBA cooler on those two people than we don't know?
And, you know, Minnesota is not on our topics tonight, but you got to like what they've done so far this offseason, too.
Yeah.
As you just mentioned, you know, getting Jimmy Butler to go along with Andrew Wiggins. I mean, that organization and the big man from Kentucky. Yeah, Andre Towns. Yeah. And so, getting them. And you also get Jeff Teague as well to join an organization as well. Right, but you got to look at Minnesota as a playoff team now. Then you get the hustle player from the Bulls. What's the guy's name?
Oh, Gibson.
You thinking of
Taj Gibson.
I drew a blank there for a second. Yeah, but Jimmy, you add Taj Gibson, you add Jimmy Butler, and you add Jeff T to Andrew Wiggins and Towns. That's a playoff team next year. I mean, that's another team in the Western Conference you got to really look at. I mean, we talked about OKC making a big jump with Paul George, but you got to look at what Minnesota's done as well, Tom Thibodeau. So, I mean, that's another team that you can easily, you know, they could possibly also be in the top four, top five running as well with that lineup, with that team as well. And you know Tom Thibodeau's going to have them playing defense. So, yeah, to me, they're another big winner so far this offseason.
Yep, good call.
Yeah.
All right. Hopefully you got all your thoughts about that Indiana thing, JQ. Hope that was good enough for you to remember everything, man, because that's what I know that we were – Lord have mercy. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, no, definitely. I wanted to bring up here because they got – you know, they got – on paper, they got robbed. And I was going to say, that's just grand larceny. What 211 arm robbery down there in New Orleans? Just way too much to listen for me. I shouldn't even know stuff like that. But, yeah, armed robbery is what happened to Indiana to Chicago. Yeah.
We'll talk about the Western Conference, too, because a couple more trades we're going to highlight, too, America. 424-243-9519. Please forgive me. I didn't throw that number out enough as we were about 15 minutes left in the show. And let's talk about the Lakers and LeBron James. I mean, I guess, you know, so you're saying there's a chance. There's one Laker fan out there that's not named JQ that's probably got his fingers crossed, toes crossed, making sure that there's a way this can happen, too. I don't know if it's going to be good or bad, but is there a chance, Rob, the Lakers, you know, somehow, some way, hook or crook, landing LeBron James next season?
Well, I can tell you this. You know, Magic Johnson talked to LeBron James during the NBA Finals quite often this past NBA Finals. And I can tell you that he was, you know, in his ear quite a bit during the NBA Finals, encouraging him. And, you know, don't think Magic Johnson doesn't know what he's doing. And, he knows that LeBron James is going to be a free agent next year. So he's establishing that relationship, you know, already, as much as I hate to see it, say it. But so, I mean, if that's kind of bagged, is it tampering a little bit? I don't know. But he's been to LeBron. He was encouraging LeBron James throughout his entire NBA Finals against the Warriors this past season. He's establishing that relationship. And like I said, I think it all depends on if the Cavaliers win or not in next summer. I think if he wins again, I think he'd be more inclined to stay in Cleveland and probably finish up his career. But let's be real here. LeBron James wants to win more championships. He's still the best player in the NBA, whether you believe it or not. I know Kevin Durant in outstanding finals. He's not LeBron James. I mean, let's just be real.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Durant, in one of those games, he scored 30-some points in a game, but he only touched the ball for like 4 minutes of the game. LeBron James has so much more on his plate from a rebounding standpoint to assist standpoint to a scoring standpoint, defensive standpoint. He just impacts the game in so many more areas. So he's still the best player in the world. And so, I mean, he wants more championships to match that status. So he's going to do whatever he can or put himself in the best situation he possibly can and to win more titles. Will he be in win six like Jordan? Probably not. Can he win another one or two? Possibly if he put himself in the right position.
Take it away, Rob.
Oh, man, I'm telling you. I would have that. And I think they're doing it the same way. I would have that LeBron jersey, no doubt. I think they're doing it the right way and not giving up all their assets for it and playing it out. I mean, okay, you know, Larry Bird took a horrible deal in a sense for Paul George. They were going to send him to you. Okay, that's fine. You know, he's going to be a free agent like you talked about. And the thing about it is, if he's talking to LeBron, imagine that is, and he's got that going, please believe that's not the only conversation that's being had. LeBron's not going to L.A. without at least one other superstar that's coming out with in that year. Wink, wink, like, hey, we still talking about doing this, this next summer? Like, yeah, I got you. Yeah, that's what we're doing. You know what I mean? Like, a serious conversation about it. I don't think he goes by himself as, like, me and Lonzo Ball and Brandon Ingram are going to do this, the three of us. I don't think he thinks that.
Nope.
I just don't. You know what I mean? I think he's got somebody coming with him.
The NBA right now is about super teams. You have to establish a super team to really win the NBA title. And, a lot of people are making a big deal about it, but the NBA has always been about super teams. I mean, you can go back to the 70s. You can go back to the 60s. The Celtics had Bill Russell. They had Bob Cousy. They had John Havlicek. The NBA has always been about super teams. I know it's been made up by this is just something new. But, it's always been about super teams in the NBA. The Celtics had Robert Parrish, Larry Bird, Kevin McHale. Lakers had James Worthy, Kareem, Magic. You've always had super teams in the NBA. This is nothing new. So you have to have a super team to put yourself in contention in most cases in the NBA. So it's nothing new, and that's really the only way you're going to be competitive.
Yeah.
Do you agree with that, JQ?
Absolutely. I mean, you keep talking about it. You talk about the Supersonics, Sean Kemp and Gary Payton. You talk about the Jazz, mm-hmm. Stockton and Malone. Like, you talk about the Suns. You talk about KJ and Charles Barkley and Chambers and them. Like, they had a good day. There have always been teams that have been good. You know, Dumars and Thomas. You get those teams that have two or three elite players and they fill in around them and they become really good. You know what I'm saying? Those two, mm-hmm. three superstars are worth their soul. So you've had this happen through all the years of us watching, you know, the NBA. This happens. Mm-hmm. This isn't a new thing. I'm saying that, but, you know, the millennials and all the young folks think everything that happens is brand new and it couldn't have possibly happened before they was around to see it. So they get carried away with the whole super team thing. I just laugh.
Yeah. Yeah. Will Chamberlain, Jerry West, Oscar Robertson, yeah. and Lou Alcindor, the Milwaukee Bucks. This is nothing new. You have to have multiple superstars on your team in order to win the NBA championship. And to me, if there's one team that I can think of that maybe didn't have the super team was the 2004 Detroit Pistons. But even that team yeah. had four really good starters. We had Ben Wallace, mm-hmm. Rasheed Wallace, Rip Hamilton, Chauncey Billups. You had Tayshaun Prince. I mean, they weren't like all really superstars, but they were really all really good players that just played so well together. But for the most part, if you look at the history of the NBA, Jordan, Pippen, Rodman. Jordan, Pippen, Horace Grant. And you've had these super teams in the NBA throughout history.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, I agree with you, Rob.
You can make a case that
some...
the Golden State Warriors team might have been the best team ever this past season.
Yeah.
I
was watching the Celtics versus Lakers, and that was fun. That was so fascinating, man. And I'm still tripping out, like you talked about, like 2 weeks ago, JQ. And you're watching this, and,
yeah.
and you see how teams are acquired, and it's not – it's kind of – I agree with you, Rob. You can sign a guy, and you can make this happen, because whenever the Lakers sign, you know, Wilt Chamberlain, like, we're ready to make this happen. But it's not a guarantee, because what happened? He gets hurt, Celtics end up pulling off, and now, granted, there's a couple things that happened, but it's just interesting to think about, you know, how you're still mixing the match in certain pieces, and it's not always a guarantee that things are going to be like hunky-dory, you know, so – you know, super teams, or, you know, they're always there, and you may acquire certain things, you may grow, and there may be more of a bench and, you know, kind of a different style of play. But it has been interesting to kind of see the evolution of the NBA, because now it is kind of going into more of a different, taking a different path, if you will. But, you know, it can be frustrating if you're not one of those teams that let's figure out how to make this happen. So, you know, that's all I'm saying from that perspective, too. I do want to talk about Chris Paul. That trade, that was the next biggest move that happened. You know, the Rockets, does it make them better or worse, I guess, is the question. And I'm going to throw this again to JQ to give your thoughts. You know, we got about 7 minutes to wrap this up, and hopefully we can kind of get in and out. But, yeah, go ahead with that, man.
Yeah, the thing about it, though, is that those are two of the top, I think, 10 or 12 usage players in the league, and it's only one basketball. And that's my – worry about them is who's going to play off the ball. They're going to split time off the ball. Harden will go back to playing the two more with Chris running the point. Like, you know, and maybe they talked about it amongst themselves, you know, because James Harden really was recruiting Chris Paul to come hard. So I would think that they would have had that conversation. They just got to get the others. They got to get the bigs to play better. You know, they still got the sixth man coming off the bench. I mean, they still have him, Eric Gordon. So, you know, they have a decent team, even with what they gave up. That can be replaced, and they re-signed, you know, Old Man River after he got his contract worked out. So, I mean, Houston's got is intriguing. I don't know if they have enough to get over the top. To Rob's point, he knew the Clippers were going downhill. So he's really, if we're going to be honest, he might be re-signing with the new age Clippers, and that's the Rockets being just good enough and not mm-hmm. great enough to beat, you know, the Warriors.
Yeah. All right. Rob's on you, man.
Yeah, I mean, those are all really good points. I would think Chris Paul would have put himself with a team that could at least got him to the Western Conference Finals, and I'm not sure he did that. That's been his enigma, his entire NBA career. He's yet to make it to a conference final, and I don't think he put himself in a position. It's going to be really intriguing. Obviously, James Harden averaged 29 points and 11 assists as a lead guard with the Houston Rockets. Now you want him to go back to being an off-the-ball player. That's going to be really interesting to see how this plays out. You're going to have Chris Paul, James Harden in your backcourt, and you still got Eric Gordon coming off the bench. You got Ryan Anderson. But I still don't think this puts them in the Western Conference Finals. And they were the number three seed in the West this past season. And I can't see them being better than that. They could possibly still wind up being a three seed, somewhere between the three or five in the Western Conference. I'm not so sure this puts them automatically in the Western Conference Finals. Now, obviously, he had to make a change because the Clippers is going as far as they're going to go. So we'll have to see. This definitely does not put them above the Warriors at all. But I'm still not convinced this guarantees them to at least making the Western Conference Finals, somewhere that Chris Paul has never been.
Send all your mail to Robert Ford.
I agree with them. They don't want to have the first semifinals. That would be death for them. That would be really bad for them. They had to go through Kawhi to get to the Warriors in the finals.
That's
going to
be a shame. They want no part of that. Yeah. They want no part of that. We know that.
No.
But this is what I'll say, too. I agree with you. I agree with both you guys. Good points because, they're still, behind in the Western Conference. But I really, really, I'm showing love to Golden State because I'm in the Golden State household. Golden State does have a better bench, man. I don't know what Houston's bench is going to be, man. I'm still trying to figure out that one. They gave up a lot of players, so unless they're going to get some summer league guys, I don't know if that's the best route to go. I mean, you can get bodies if that's what they're trying to do, but are those quality bodies going to do something? Because, again, you gave up the farm. You pretty much saying we're going all in, but what else can they do? Because I don't know if they have enough firepower off the bench yet. Go ahead, Rob.
Well, you gave up Patrick Beverley. You gave up Lou Williams. You did keep Nene. And you still have the big man, pretty productive. I can't remember his name. Sorry for doing another blank. You still have Eric Gordon coming off the bench.
Your birthday.
I'm sorry?
Mm-hmm. That's your birthday. Let me have that moment, man. It's all good.
I mean, you do have Eric Gordon, the guy who can come off the bench and bring some instant offense. And I would think at some point in the game, Chris Paul, Gordon, and Ryan Anderson on the floor at the same time would probably somebody like a Nene or someone like that. You got a lot of shooters on the floor, then Anderson and Gordon, and then you got two penetrators and Paul and Harden. I mean, they may make it to the Western Conference Finals, but I still don't know if it guarantees them a shot. I mean, when you look at the West, the Spurs are still going to be there. The Timberwolves are going to be challenging you. And now you look at OKC with Paul George. And so the Western Conference is really going to be really strong. I mean, it's gotten better. I saw something the other day where the top 15 players in the NBA, only two of the top 15 players in the NBA were in the Eastern Conference. And that was LeBron James and Kyrie Irving. The other 13 players in the top 15 is in the Western Conference. And so that's that's insane when you look at the competition in the Western Conference. I think Memphis falls off a little bit. They started to struggle toward the end of the season. So I think they fall off a little bit. I mentioned already the Jazz can fall off a little bit. The Clippers fall off a little bit. I think the Pelicans rise a little bit with Jrue Holiday, DeMarcus Cousins, and Anthony Davis for a full season. I can see them moving up to somewhere in that 6, 7, 8 spot in the Western Conference. But there's going to be some teams that fall off a little bit, like I mentioned, Memphis, the Clippers. If Portland don't get any front court help, they could also be a team that falls out of the playoffs or at least gets in as an 8 spot. I mean, they're strong in the backcourt. But again, Nurkic's back this year, so that might be enough to still keep them in a playoff hunt. And Denver,
take a breath. Hold on, Rob. You got 45 seconds here. Talk about OT's portion real quick, bro. I was letting you do that, but you kept going, bro. 45 seconds.
I'm giving you the whole Western Conference preview for next year.
You got 30 seconds, bro. Wrap this up. Come on.
But anyway, join us next week. We're going to be on the air Thursday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific.
Oh, my goodness.
Our friends in Hawaii, it's going to be 5 p.m. You don't want to miss us on next Thursday night, people. Good night.
JQ.
Go Dodgers.
Home run derby, guys. All right, really quickly. I was letting you kind of,
yes,
you were kind of like going off, man, but we got to get, go ahead. I was trying to let you know about this. Go ahead, man. Go ahead. Go ahead, Rob. Finish up. We're
our friends in Japan, it's going to be 12 noon on Friday next week, so make sure you tune in.
We're already,
on
we're already out, man.
Friday night. And our friends in Guam, that's going to be 1 p.m.
There, we're already done, bro. It's all good, man. It's all good. Keep it going, man. Finish up, man.
But yeah, getting back to the Western Conference, it's going to, I mean, obviously there's going to be a lot of movement that takes place, and it's going to be really exciting to watch and see. But obviously, Golden State is still going to be a team to come out of the West. But two through eight is going to be really interesting.
Yeah. JQ, do you have any comment on that? Now I'll let you kind of like do what you got to do, bro.
Oh no, he covered it pretty much. I would agree with those rises and those fallers. I think that's what you're gonna look for in the Western Conference with what happened.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Good deal, Rob. Birthday Boy got everything in as well. Let's wrap this up, and I'm gonna let JQ talk about this as far as the home run derby. So, All-Star Game is like next week here. What do you think? Your thoughts about
yes,
this,
sir.
JQ, and who's gonna win, man? Yeah.
First
oh,
of
man.
All, America,
I
need y'all to be spying on JQ down on South Beach next week.
Oh, man, put him on point. Put him on blast, man. Oh, man.
Not right.
Please don't let him take any pictures on boats, man. Please, please, America. Keep an eye on him. Go ahead.
No, no, you ain't got to worry about that. I think what baseball will want, everybody will want, probably is a Judge, you know, Stanton finals, where they just hit bombs and go toe for toe. I mean, that there to me are the biggest, you know, thumpers in this. So that would be nice. I don't think I'm going to find another spot like I got last year in San Diego so I can catch it for the free ski. But I'm going to be somewhere around there where the home run derby is going on, watching it around the stadium. So I'm looking forward to a good show. I hope it's those two guys in the end. I think either one of them can win it.
Yeah. Your thoughts about that, Rob?
Well, I mean, those are the same two guys that I thought of as well. When you look at it, obviously Stanton is coming back, trying to repeat off of his performance last year in the Home Run Derby, and now he's actually doing it in his home stadium in Miami. So obviously he's going to be the favorite with the hometown crowd behind him. And but I think those will be the two guys that will be in the finals. But I think Stanton is going to be performing off of adrenaline being home. I would look for him to repeat.
I agree. He's going to be stacked, unless there's like a major, you know, upset from that perspective. But, yeah, go ahead, JQ.
I was going to say, and I've seen it and with Todd Frazier in the home run derby when I was home in Cincinnati. And just being, you know, I was in a bar right by the stadium, and just the energy of everybody stopping the music and what was happening when he came up to bat, and getting full on into it and magnifying that by all the stuff around the stadium, people in the stadium. Like, you could just feel that energy. Like, you could feel like it was buoying him. So I agree that Stanton is going to get that extra lift that nobody else is going to get being at home.
Yep. All right, Birthday Boy Rob, I'm going to let you kind of wrap this up, man, because it's been a long day for me, and I'm going to let you enjoy that. But anything before we may wrap up a little early here, but you going to have anything else to say for the week or anything like that, Rob?
JQ, stay away from the beer and the mojitos down on South Beach. Behave. Be safe. Represent Talking Sports for the 12th man with class and dignity.
JQ, do you have a comeback for Mr. Rob Ford? On that note, oh, Lord have mercy.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, no, I don't. I was not prepared for that. Hey, man, I'm a promise to represent us with class and dignity as a first flight 5-star rated show on the internet.
Oh, man. Oh,
well, ladies and gentlemen,
thank you all for tuning in
as usual. Once again, next Thursday night, we're going to be back on the air. That's going to be 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. for our friends on the West Coast. Our California listeners, thanks for continuing to tune in on a regular basis. Once again, join us on next Thursday night. That's going to be 8 p.m. Eastern. Our friends in Hawaii, definitely keep tuning in. Next Thursday night, 5 p.m. AM. You don't want to miss it. Once again, Japan, our Japanese listeners, we're going to be talking to more baseball for you coming here pretty soon with the All-Star Weekend next weekend. So you definitely want to tune in next Friday. It'll be 12 noon your time. And for our friends in Guam, that's going to be on Friday at 1 p.m. Keep listening, people. Good night.
Pray for me, good people. Keep me in your thoughts and prayers. And if I come back next week, talk to you again. Everybody be cool. Hope everybody had a pretty good 4th. Enjoy yourself. Appreciate you for listening.
Be humble. Be humble. We always have fun putting the show up. I know we got some we have some pretty big personalities. So America, appreciate you putting up with us, listening to us for these 45 minutes too. But again, we'll see you, as Rob said, gentlemen. It's always a pleasure. Rob, happy birthday, bro. Hope you had fun, man. Hope you had a chance to enjoy the day, man.
Sure.
Yeah, so we know how that is, man. So good times, man.
Thank you,
gentlemen.
Talking sports with you.
Bro. All right, guys. Have a good rest of the evening, fellas. Until next week, I'm sure we always text each other throughout the week, America. So we're always keeping track of conversations. I may be a little late, but I'll chime in whenever I can if I'm not doing something, man. So a lot of love, and we'll see you guys. That's a little shot. Look, keep the shuffle going out, man. Be good, guys.
He's just a little slow, man.
I'm not slow at all. Not at all. It's very calculated. All right, next week. Deuces.
All right.
Deuces, Rob.
The process is ongoing.
Deuces.